Proverbs chapter 4. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to meet here tonight and go over your word. We thank you for who you are and what do you want us to learn. Have us have soft hearts tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Proverbs 4:23. Let's back up into verse 20 and read this verse in context. So verse 20 of chapter 4, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all your diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and preserve perverse lips far from you. So, let's see. This ready? Yeah, that worked great, didn't it? Sorry. Which one do I hit? The circular one?
No.
That's a new one here, isn't it?
This one.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so, reading this verse in different editions here, NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, flows from our heart. Another translation, keep the heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. Even just a children's Bible, I pulled up, be very careful about what you think. Your thoughts run your life. So the heart is the seat of our life. From the heart, all actions flow, and life is derived. And the heart is the first that lives and the last that dies. How you live your life is formed in your heart, and if you allow your heart to be shaped and sanctified by the Holy Spirit or the Word of God, you will more likely experience a life of challenge, contentment, and joy, and enjoying the sweet, sweet fellowship with God. And if your heart is right, so your actions will follow. Your actions will then spring from right principles and be directed to the right ends and performed with right views. Great care, therefore, should be taken for your heart, since so much depends upon it and so well known to God, the searcher of it. So, just the emphasis here of our heart and what our heart is. Much of the confusion in a lot of our lives is actually a result from the failure to understand the truth, to submit to God's authority. And right here in Proverbs 4:3, the other scriptures that describe the significance of the heart, this little passage in chapter 4, verse 23 tonight, Solomon writes, four main principles of guarding the heart. Number one, pinpoint the treasure. This verse identifies guarding your heart as more important than anything else. So you may ask, how am I supposed to guard my heart? Well, Jesus declared that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. He says this is the first commandment. Matthew 15:16-20 says, so Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters your mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come to the heart, and they defile a man. So there we go again. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So this was in the context, thinking of the Pharisees. He also taught in Luke For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How about Ephesians 1:18? The eyes of the heart may be enlightened. The Apostle Paul prayed for the saints that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a very familiar verse, but very important, one of the first I ever memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path straight. Do you ever meditate on that thought, in that verse? How many ways are we to acknowledge God? It's all of our ways. And will He direct our paths? And a New American Standard says, will direct our paths straight. And to guide, another verse, Psalm 119:11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So again, the heart is the seat, what drives us. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, this is in the context of when he saw David, the smallest of all the sons, he thought, who's this guy? Going to be king? So the Lord said, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see what a man sees, for the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, number two, prioritize the task. Prioritize the task. So if I asked any of you here in this room tonight, what's the most important thing to allow you to be sanctified to God? What answers would I hear? We could probably answers like study the Word of God more, which is good. Pray more Christian fellowship, come to church more. And those are all good answers, but how many of you would state the command to consciously guard your heart? We all have a sin nature. And hopefully by the end of tonight we'll see how important it is to guard our heart. Because we have that sin nature wanting to rear its ugly head a lot. So guarding your heart is more protection. It's more than protection. It's actually pursuing consciously and diligently digging in and realizing what could take. So if we ask what is involved, it's taking in the Word of God. Guarding your heart is more than feeding your soul than avoiding sin. If we think, okay, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, it's the same as Pastor describes as going on a diet. All you do is start thinking about food. So if we're going to say we're not going to do these things, we start to think about them. But to combat that, we take the offensive. We dig into the Word of God. And it doesn't come easy. We just have to make habits. We're creatures of habit, as I always say. Just have to do it. So when our heart is strong, we are able to resist the temptations that cause believers to stumble. Number three, put out the trash. An important aspect to guarding your heart not only is seeking God, but we cannot ignore the instruction to minimize trash in our lives. The verses that follow the command here to guard our heart describe putting away perverse speech, looking straight ahead, choosing good paths. These verses are similar to the New Testament challenge here in Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, God, since we also have such a cloud, large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes vertically on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. So both of these passages reveal the need to remove some things from our lives so that we can run the race of faith. Some trash is easy to identify and some isn't. Easy ones might be being immoral, perverse behavior, child abuse, evil acts that harm others in bold opposition to God. But there's other trash that's not so obvious. How about a lack of faith in situations? How about your unwillingness to forgive? How about materialism, pride? These things might be not as easy to recognize. So trash, big or small, is still trash. We should embrace the challenge that the Apostle Paul gave Timothy to purify himself so that he may be a special instrument set apart. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and be patient." Lastly, number four, pump up the truth. Pump up the truth. A fourth strategy for guarding your heart is to energize with truth. Note the instruction, pay attention and listen closely. So question, do we need truth? And again, this was Solomon talking to his family in verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words." Do you ever have something important to say, especially your children? You might want to say, just stop now, listen to what I'm going to have to say here. Listen. And that's what he's saying here. Listen. Psalm 119:1 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." In Psalm 119:15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." How often do we just take time in our busy lives and meditate on God's principles, precepts, things in his word, and just contemplate? We live in a world that's opposed to truth. Just turn on your news. I mean, things are getting bad out there. People are promoting tolerance over truth, but the Bible repeatedly says, and wise King Solomon here reminds us, that there's a difference between right and wrong. There's a difference between good and bad. There's righteousness and evil. There's paths that have a solid foundation that are sounded on the Word of God. And they can lead to spiritual success in God's eyes. But evil and unstable choices will always lead to instruction. That's a principle we need to know. Paths that have a fallen, solid foundation on principles of the Word of God is just that, solid. Brings success in many different ways, but evil and unstable choices are made out of pride, out of our flesh, will also always lead to destruction. And initially it may not seem that way, but down the road it will. There are boundaries. We must also appreciate the difference between facts and truth. It's not enough just to know the facts of faith. We must internalize them, because facts provide information, but truth provides transformation. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." It takes a conscious effort to do this. It doesn't come naturally. We all are in the same boat. We get caught up in the world. We have to consciously, diligently seek this, as verse 23 says, make a conscious effort. We don't want to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along that feeds our ways or flesh. We need to meditate on the principles that God wants us to learn. So never treat the scripture as a collection of facts. Pay attention and listen closely how God wants us to live. Because we know that what? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart." There we go again, the word heart. Let me ask, what are your thoughts of your heart? What are your intents of your heart? Are you intending to bring glory to God in the end? Or bringing glory to yourself? I mean, we're all in the same boat. The end goal should be our heart wanting to bring glory to God. The prophet Jeremiah described God's words as a fire that burns in a man's soul. He states here, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces, the word of God is powerful." So in conclusion, guarding your heart is critical to experience all that God desires in your life. So getting back, I'm going to read the verse one more time. Chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." And diligence there, looked it up, didn't have time to copy it off and put it on here, but it's a conscious effort of pursuing. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of that spring the issues of life. Prioritize the task. Pinpoint the treasure. Put out the trash and pump up the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the word of God and principles that even just one simple verse here help us internalize what we've learned tonight with a soft heart, all to bring you glory in Christ's name. Amen.